Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 25, Text 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vishuka Uvacha Indrastatatana. Pujam Vigaya Vihitam Nipa. Gopebhya Krishnanathebhyo. Vanda Vibhyashukopa. Aha. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, My dear King Parikshit, when Indra understood that his sacrifice had been put aside, he became furious with Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men who were accepting Krishna as their Lord. Ajana Timurandasya Yanandana Salakaya Taksuran Mritam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vichaitanya Mano Bhishtam Snapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Adati Sapadantitam Abhidhanat Sinam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Sumadhu Sapadam Soja Ilisham Janma Janmani Parajiyat Bhakti Visham Priyatnai Apayam Amaravitsumandam Kripambuhiya Paradhuka Dukhi Sanatanatam Prabhumastriyami Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Ripa Sindhu Bhayevaja Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vakade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, can you actually shut the back window there? Because the noise is coming from there. So greetings from Sri Govardhan Dham. And I'm facing west, which means I'm just about 100 yards from Govardhan Hill. And I can always feel its presence and energy. It's like that when you're in the Dham, the Holy Dham. I'll be going to Puri next month. And Jagannath is so powerful. Everywhere you feel the presence of Jagannath. And everywhere you feel the presence of Govardhan. And therefore, it's an ideal place to execute spiritual life. Because the Udipins, the excitants for spiritual life are constantly nourishing you. But as Srila Rupa Goswami says, you can't live in the Dham, you should live there in your mind. Thinking of the places of Krishna's pastimes, Shyamakunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan, Kalindi Jamuna Jaya, Jaya Mahaprabhu. I remember that story when that very nice devotee in Yanagri, many of you know him, named Bali. Very simple name. He must be at 65 now. So I took him to Govardhan, and we were by Govardhan Hill, and we know that he serves in Yanagri and takes care of the cows. A very simple person, very pure. I remember when I said to him, I was trying to explain this concept, how when you're in Govardhan, you always feel the presence of Giriraj. And I said, Bali, just like when you're in Devanagari and you're in the barn, don't you feel the presence of Radha Damodar? And he said, I feel the presence of Radha Damodar now. That's Krishna consciousness. That's sambandha. That's relationship. You see your deity, you feel the presence everywhere. So, we're going through the 10th canto with this pastime, and I hope we'll have some chance to remember Krishna. Because that's how we become purified. Rupa Goswami says that the essence of practicing Krishna consciousness is to remember him and never forget him. And that the acharyas devise ways and means in which we can do so. This is the essential spiritual practice. It's the essence of the process of bhakti yoga. The essence of process of bhakti yoga is somehow or other we have to absorb ourselves in Krishna. And that means Krishna and his different manifestations, his devotees, the Dham, whatever our taste is, will be the door that leads us forward in Krishna consciousness. I remember when I was with Borijan Prabhu, and he'd have a way where, kind of like when you would visit him, he'd always be thinking deeply. And he asked me, what is your taste in Krishna consciousness? And then, after some discussion, he said, why? Because the taste that you have, which means the liking that you have, Krishna appears in many, many ways. And it also may be somewhat connected with your proclivities or your psychology. But somehow or other, if you can fix your mind on Krishna, you will become purified. This is the whole essence of bhakti. And that's the whole basis of Prabhupada's movement. The whole basis of Prabhupada's movement is to engage people according to their proclivities and natures. That's how, you know, and somehow or other being absorbed in the maximum way according to their nature. Prabhupada was so successful. He took people who had really not so much attraction for bhakti by samskara and somehow enlivened them in a way that they could be absorbed. And I was just studying today the first verse of the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita has three sections indicating the subject matters that are stressed. The middle section is Bhakti Yoga. What's that first verse? Ayasatam no parta yogam yinjan marakteya asamtayam samagrama yatagyasyati tachir. Just hear from me and full consciousness in me, mind attached to me, you will have full cognizance of me and be free from all doubt. That's the process of bhakti yoga. Just hear from me. Why? Because by hearing, full consciousness of me, by hearing, you become absorbed in Krishna. And what happens when you become absorbed in Krishna? You become purified. And what does purified mean? Pure means to become, get rid of anything that's external to the essence of something. What is pure water? Pure water is just water. You get rid of everything else. This is a process of liberation. They have these indirect processes of liberation that are described in the Bhagavatam, where people go to higher and higher planets, and as they're ascending through the universe, they continually give up material desires, that which is external to the self. It's like the Kshatriyas in days of yore, when they want, at the end of their life, when they saw that I don't have much to live, what did? They just walked to the north. Why did they walk to the north? Because, and what would happen? There'd be so much austerity, they'd give up the bodily concept of life, and finally, what's the last thing that you give up? you amalgamate the false ego into the Mahatattva, because the false ego is the root of material existence. The conception that I am the enjoyer, that I am the doer, I am the controller, becomes, so what does it mean? You get rid of everything that's external to the self. So how does focusing the consciousness on Krishna purify you? Because when you focus the consciousness on Krishna, because we have a natural relationship with Krishna, and the attraction between two people who have relationship is called love, your attachment for Krishna comes out. And what does that attachment mean? Your desire to serve him. And what is that? That's the nature of the self. That's who you are, a servant of Krishna. When attachment comes for Krishna, when love comes for Krishna, the nature of your soul is coming out. And when your only attachment to Krishna, then you're pure. Then you're pure. And then you'll know Krishna in full. Because it's only our desire to not serve Krishna and not be a devotee that covers us from Krishna. Krishna fulfills our desire by saying, here, look, it's an illusion. I don't exist. You're the controller. You don't want to be what you are, a devotee? And Krishna says, okay, here's my illusory potency. You're not a devotee. You're the controller. And I don't exist. So it's all that desire, ahankara, to be the controller, to be the enjoyer, that covers our perception of that absolute reality. So when you absorb and focus yourself on Krishna some way or other, and that's the reason that this class is here, I'm trying to provide some type of opportunities for people to hear about Krishna. And that's why Raga Nuga Bhakti is so much more purifying than Vaidhi Bhakti. Why? Because Raga Nuga Bhakti means when you do something out of liking, not just obligation or duty. And what happens when you do something out of liking? You're more absorbed. And the more absorbed you are, the more purified you become. So we should find our taste in Krishna consciousness, especially Sankirtan, especially congregational chanting of the holy name. Because it's given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's absorbing with music and people and song and the holy name of Krishna. Anyway, I can go on and on, but this is the key factor of spiritual advancement, to somehow or other become absorbed in Krishna and become attracted to him. So we are, and therefore Krishna appeared, and he appeared, and he performed these pastimes to absorb us, that we can advance and have subject matter, absorb our consciousness. So let's just, what I would say, put on our remembrance hats here. We know the Leela, I'm just going to talk to the now Indra is getting involved. He's getting angry. There's a point there to be made. But what happens? Krishna stopped the sacrifice, and he convinced his father with just, what, this young, beautiful boy speaking sophisticated philosophy. If it was right or wrong, he did the wrong thing for the right reason. He did the wrong thing. He preached the wrong philosophy for the right reason. What's the right reason? To stop the worship of Indra. And to establish the worship of his holy Dham. Even if Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that by, is it Dham Seva first? By Dham Seva, you get Dham Seva, and by Dham Seva, you get Kam Seva. By chanting the holy name, you get service of the holy Dham. service of the Holy God, Krishna's desire becomes revealed. Krishna lets you know how you can most please him. That's the nature of the God. It reveals Krishna's desire and inspires you to serve him. So, he stops it and he takes the Indra paraphernalia, and somehow or other Nanda Maharaj agrees. Why? Because he's a devotee. He just wants to satisfy Krishna. When somebody is attractive, you want to satisfy him. What can be more attractive than Krishna, who is your son? And you have some bandha, you have relationship. That's why, if we want to become absorbed in the holy name, we don't just chant any names of God. We chant the names of God whom we have a relationship with, because the absorption will be more. What names of God do we have a relationship with? Parama Karuna Pahuduri Jana Nittai Gore Chandra Sadavatar Sadashiramani Kevalananda Khanda Vajra Vajra Bhai Chaitanya Nittai Sudridha Vishvasa Kori Vishayacharya Sevasa Madhya Mukhe Golo Hari Hari. I'm seeing some students here from Gopi Pranadana's Sanskrit school, which is my neighbors here. And they come, and you know, many of these devotees that serve. They're young, most of them, you know, I think 25, 30 maximum. But they're young, and they serve Lord Chaitanya's mission. They experience that service to him. And therefore, when you chant that name, which you have some bandha, I see they're feeling joy. They're feeling the joy. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Krishna, Krishna, Jai Krishna, Jai Sri Krishna, Shama Gori, Nitya Kishori, Vitta Majori, Sri Radhe, Rasika Rasimo, Chala Chabiro, Gunadara Biro, Sri Krishna, you can just chant, no philosophy, but you just chant all the names of the beloved Lord. And that we have some thunder with. And this is actually what initiation means. And you get initiated in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line. Jiva Goswami says you get some thunder with knowledge of your relationship with God. And understanding of who your worshipful Lord is and your relationship. We get that. We come in a line where we get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we get Radha and Krishna. And we have to develop some bandha. And when we chant with some bandha, with some relationship, name of the Lord that we have, then this is what absorbs us and develops the love in our heart. So can you imagine Nanda Maharaj, the Sambandha, and Krishna saying, my dear father, you please stop this yajna, and you worship those things which actually please me? Which is what? Govardhan, the Brahmins, and the cows. So this Govardhan Yajna begins. So the ladies they dress up very, very beautifully. Why? Because it creates enthusiasm. If you're going to glorify someone and you come to their party, right? I was joking some devotees of the Tamal Krishna Maharaj's disciples came. I spoke to them here, about 10 or 15. A lot of people come here, and I get to tell Govardhan Leela, and people like it. And I explained, you know, how they dressed up so nicely. I said, what would it be like if you went to Tamal Krishna Maharaj's Vyasa Puja, and you were his disciples, and you wore cut-off dungaree shorts and a t-shirt? It wouldn't be, what would he think? But it's not saying, oh, this is important. This is, so you dress up. It's very, very nice. You dress up. It's joyous. And there's kirtan. There's always kirtan in the spiritual world. And we're Raghunuga Bhaktas. We're following the mood of the Brijvasis. Our specific relationship with Krishna may not have yet manifested, but we have some idea that we're devotees of Krishna. And therefore we should follow what the residents of Vrindavan do. And what do? They do kirtan, not as a sadhana, but as an expression of their love from their hearts. And we follow them. We do the kirtan as they do. They're chanting, Yatsomati Nandana Gajabara Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kana. They're singing these songs. Goloka Premadan, Harinam Sankirtan. It comes from the spiritual world. These are eternal songs. This is what they do. And we want to pop. So they're doing kirtan. And when they're doing kirtan, there's also Brahmins chanting all the mantras. Chant some mantras when you do. So anyway, the Brahmins were chanting, and the kirtan was going on, and there were dancers, and there were musicians, and you're going around. It's like that today, your Tikram parties, and they go around Govardhan in such joy. And then when they finish, this is a very, very significant part of what this leela is, and many things. But what happens? Krishna is standing there, this charming, beautiful boy who everyone just had a festival. It reminds me of Prabhupada when he had his little Jagannath Bhaktiatra. It's his desire. His father wanted to please him. His mother wanted to please him. And they had this Jagannath Bhaktiatra. They all had this little festival for Krishna. Huge festival. Mountains. They anukuth mountains of rice and puris and lakes of grub jumping, and like golden mountains, clarified ghee. I forgot where I went in Brudge. I went someplace, and they gave me just pure home-cooked butter. It's not that yellow butter that we get, but more white. It's pure. They just gave it to me. Hey, you eat butter. If you're living in Brudge, you eat butter. It's golden. The mountain. Golden mountain. And then, and Krishna, what does he do? He manifests a form on top of the mountain. A huge form. And says, I am Govardhan Hill. And then, Krishna is also, he's also standing outside of Govardhan Hill. So there's the mountain. I am Govardhan Hill. And Krishna manifests, there's three forms. And Krishna, with the Brijvasis, he pays his obeisances. Krishna himself is worshipping Govardhan Hill. But why is this done? Because Krishna, the whole purpose one of the purposes of Leela is to establish the significance of Krishna's Dham. And in the Dham, there can be no more important place than Govardhan Hill. It should be worshipped. The whole Bhagavatam I was explaining is leading up to the Rasa Leela. This is already chapter 25. It's only a few chapters. And this is one of the points that we have to, we're seeing Brahma Vimohan Lila, you got to become free from false ego and pride. And you know, there's something to be learned in Dainakasura Lila, Kalara Lila, getting rid of cruelty. He's so cruel. All the anarchists have to go through the heart. We have to be prepared. And we have to enter and worship the God. It's one of the five most important items of devotional service. And Krishna is showing you have to worship the God. And there's no more, that's more important than any ritual. This is the culmination of devotional service. You get the mercy of the Holy God. And you worship the God. Give your heart to the God. Of course, Krishna says, I am the God. It's his internal potency. It's the full manifestation of the energy of Krishna that is imbued with the sense, I will please Krishna. I will love Krishna. And if you want to love Krishna, you have to serve the manifestations of Krishna that are composed of love of Krishna. Because that's where Krishna appears. He appears within his internal potency. Therefore, Krishna appears in the Holy Name. It's his internal potency. And then, you do it, and you say, if you don't do it, if you don't worship, at some point you don't worship, then there's so many entities, snakes and things, they'll attack you. You worship Govardhan, though. Okay, so this is five wonderful things that Indra's watching. And that's this verse. And we said, what is Indra's? What is another warning for us in entering spiritual life? Don't become bewildered by opulence and position. Because what is blocking us from Krishna is the false ego. I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. And if you're put in a position in the service of Krishna to do that, be very, very careful. Because it can blind you from Krishna, like Indra is blinded from Krishna. He can't see Krishna. Even though he's standing there, what did Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, his brother-in-law, say to him, chastise him? Even though the Supreme Lord is standing right before you, you cannot see him because you think of yourself as a separate and independent God. He's blinded, his position. So dangerous. This is the problem with the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada had to start an institution, obviously. He had to start a corporation, obviously. That means hierarchy. It means one person's higher than another, a position, etc. And then you have young men that have to take up that service. So dangerous. Lord Brahma, when he had the position, he became bewildered also and stole Krishna's cowherd boys and calves. And what did he do in his next life? His birth is Haridas Thakur. Let me be born in the lowest position in society. I don't want that false ego. The whole Bhagavatam is spoken to Lord Brahma because he has to be the creator. And he wants to know how I can do this without becoming overwhelmed with false ego. And the answer was the Bhagavatam. Get transcendental knowledge so you can do something in the mode of service. And we all have it. If we don't have it, we're hankering for it. You know, someone joins the temple and he's the junior man. As soon as he becomes a little bit more advanced than two other people, already he's instructing him. So, Indra, and the sense of entitlement, that I deserve this. So now what happens to Indra is what? He gets angry. Why does he get angry? Your desires are frustrated. And what's Indra's desire? Indra's desire is, I want to be God. That's the chief desire in this world is not sensual stimulation. It's superiority. It's superiority. I want to be better. I want supremacy. Look at this political race, right? People fight with each other. They want to be, and they're not satisfied when they're the senators. Then they want to fight to be the president. So this is, and because it's a devotee, and a devotee can be overcome with this, Krishna will make arrangements to purify it. As Prabhupada said, that the material protective agents. Yeah. And the whole story of Queen Kunti. Why is Kunti got more mercy than Devaki? Devaki was Krishna's mother. But Kunti got more of Krishna than Devaki. Why? Because Devaki had a husband to protect her and Kunti was a widow. She was more in need and therefore Krishna was there. And then when Krishna left, what did she say? Look at her. Yipada shanti tashasra tata tata jagatka. Let the calamities happen again and again. I want to be in the mood of need. I want to be in the mood of need so I can be an object of mercy. And this is the whole practice of Krishna consciousness. The whole practice of Krishna consciousness is humility. It's somehow chanting, but chanting with feeling, chanting with need. And lo and behold, as soon as we have some situation or position that increases the false ego, because we have to begin to claim proprietorship, then Krishna makes arrangements to purify one out of his mercy. And now we'll see this mood in India. Manam sambhartitam nama meganam chantikarinam indrapachodiyakrubho akyam chavesha manyita. Angry Indra set forth the clouds of universal destruction known as Sambhartita, imagining himself the supreme controller. He spoke as follows. Isha Mani, I am thinking I am the controller. And it bewilders one. And therefore you commit offense. And pride comes offense. Offense, why? Because if you think you are better than you are, you will not deal with others in an appropriate way. And you'll commit offense. The example is Indra himself. When he's sitting on the throne and all the opulence of the guru comes, and he's thinking like, oh, he doesn't even stand up. He's like, oh, I'm so great. I'm so great. I have so much. Tribhuvana Aishwarya. I have the opulence of the guru. You commit offense. That's the Haridas Thakur, a very good position. Lowest rung in society. No chance of committing offense. I'm lower than everyone. I remember one time a friend of mine got chastised by a sadhu. He said, don't think you're better than everyone. Or anyone. So, the same. And then, what happens from the pride, from the envy, comes what? Comes the criticism. And the criticism is worse than the envy. Why is criticism worse than envy? Because envy is when it's in the heart. Criticism is when it comes out. Now, this is India, right? Now, the envy is there. They're accepting Krishna as the Lord. And what happens? Oh, si madha mahatyam gopanam kananaukshakasam Krishna mahatyam upasthitya ye chakru devahelanam. Indra said, just see how these cowherd men living in the forest have become so greatly intoxicated by their prosperity. They have surrendered to an ordinary human being, Krishna, and thus they have offended the God. This word for offense is interesting, halana. What does halana mean? Neglect. Neglect. It means neglect. The offense begins from neglect. Why? Because you're not valuing something. You're not respecting something. Why? Because you have the sense of entitlement. It can enter into our spiritual lives. When you walk around with, I'm saying myself, this false ego, you don't bow down to the deities, you don't give it the proper respect. You know, a real sad, a flower petal falls on the floor, everything. Trying to respect everything in that mood. What is that? I explained that before, that paying obeisances, it's not just the physical act, it's the consciousness that I am inferior. And it's because we are. We're inferior to Krishna and all Krishna's manifestation. And that's Vaishnava. It's not just a physical thing. And one who's a real devotee, he feels it. I told you that one sadhu, Fakir Mohan, who, you know, he's a very humble person, and he went to see my friend's mother, who had visited the Dham. Actually, the house I'm staying is part of the Sarthi Ghost Farm. And he's from Oxford, and they're very, very British kind of people. Kind of British, you know, kind of much different than American. It's not like a lot of makeup. It's kind of, I don't know, just British kind of beliefs. So, from Oxford. And the sadhu pays his obeisances. He's like an acharya. Because the mother, and starts quoting verses. That if one becomes a devotee, 17 generations are liberated. Then he started explaining, and those 17 generations are liberated. So they're liberating 17 generations. He's glorifying so much. Then he started to say how when he used to study Sanskrit from this one great pundit, I forgot, and the pundit was so humble, he was paying attention to every worker that came, everyone. He was so humble. And then he looked at the mother and he said, this is our culture. And he looked at it. No, he said, not just our culture. We feel it. Trinada pi samichena. Trinada pi sahishtana. Amani na madanina. Kirtaniya sadhaya. One should chant the holy name of Krishna in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. The Vaishnava mood. I'll read one more verse for today. Time flies. Yathadhutai kamamayai katadir namamho nivai vidyam pangitshikam hitta akir shanti tavanavam. Taking shelter of Krishna is just like the foolish attempt of men who abandon transcendental knowledge of the self and instead try to cross over the great ocean of material existence in a false boat of fruitive ritual sacrifice. Okay. So it's ironic. He says, taking shelter is like the foolish attempt of men who abandon transcendental, who abandon basically Brahmagyan. And foolish people take the fruit of activity and give up Brahma Gyan. But actually, but the people who do take shelter of Krishna do also give up Gyan. And Yabhi Lashi Ashunya Jnana Kama Dunadhanukuryana. So this Lila is here and we're seeing Indra's anger. I'm now going to stop a little bit early. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
How you go?
This is Nanda Goldas. This is Nanda
Goldas. Okay, one thing. Hey, people, whatever question is asked, I'm going to repeat this. I have an audience here. Yes. What's your question, Nandibila?
Maharaj, you know, I like the quotation that you mentioned about Kunti and Devaki, that Kunti got more mercy because she was a widow. Now, as a devotee trying to get mercy of Krishna, how we can bring that mood of Kunti?
How can we bring the mood of Kunti? Well, there are two ways. Yes, you know, Kunti was more dependent. How can we be in the mood of Kunti? Right? Well, there's two ways. Well, we are in the situation of Kunti. That's the fact. We are completely in need. We don't have control over anything. Krishna is the controller. We can see. We can take away. We can give. You know, we see, you know, people who are beautiful. You know, they can lose their beauty. Nothing belongs to us. That's a fact. So it's only an illusion that we think we're not dependent on Krishna. So there's two ways to become dependent on Krishna. One is to realize that by knowledge. And the other is Krishna takes away the things from us to help us to realize that, like Narada Muni. It described that sometimes our life is like it doesn't have to be that way, but if you cultivate material opulence in your life in relationship to the desires in your heart, then the material opulence is like a fever which indicates the disease. And what does the doctor do when he cures the disease? He first brings down the fever, because the fever may kill you. But Krishna is sometimes, it doesn't mean that you know, Krishna can give us opulence just naturally, you know, our nature. I remember this one lady I was preaching to in the upper west side of Manhattan, and she was donating substantially to Vrindavan and things. And she's a very high-class lady, and she wanted to build this temple in Vrindavan, and she was very, very sincere. And so I do it, the first money I get, I would do it by book distribution. Now, this is a lady with always dressed up in jewelry and very, you know, very high class. I'd do it by book distribution. But I won't go like she said to people in the temples where they go, where they try to find people who are not so intelligent. I'm going to the Upper West Side, you know, among the high class people. So she went out in a couple hours and came back with a dollar, finally. Because she's very sincere, but that was her nature. She was from that class. That was her nature. It was what she required. But beyond that, she was giving everything to Krishna. So it's not an exact correlation. But if your environment is a manifestation of your false ego, and it's time for you to pursue, then Krishna can reduce the fever of material existence. But it's always better to do it by hearing. And real detachment is not giving up the objects of attachment, but giving up the sense of possessiveness. We are dependent on Krishna. And if we don't realize it in the life, we'll realize it at death. Because Krishna will take away everything. Not only take away our possessions, but our whole concept of who we are as the enjoyer and controller. And if we're attached to the body, it will appear that we're not only losing the things around us, but we're losing our very existence. So the whole world is meant to give us that sense of dependence. But it's better to hear about it, and therefore with transcendental knowledge, realize it now. I told this story, I don't know how appropriate it is, but I'll tell it again, that when I was young, growing up in New York in high school, there was one beautiful girl that everyone was attached to. And all my friends were attracted to this one girl. So when I was, you know, became a devotee, and then I was back in New York, I was doing, how do you know I'm on the street in Manhattan? And out of one building comes this businessman. He has one of those very high-class blue suits and the nice shoes, and he has the briefcase, you know, a certified accountant comes out. And he sees me doing kirtan, and he looks at me, and I can only repeat the first word, and the second word is not cow. He looked at me and said, holy! And then he saw it was my old friend. It was my old friend. And then he was meeting me, and then he said to me, he said, hey, remember that girl? I said, well, I'm trying to forget these things, but yeah, okay. And he said, yeah, he said, well, you know, after you left and you became a devotee or something, she was a beautiful girl. And he said that she had a boyfriend and he left her and she became depressed. And she started to eat. And she gained 100, and she gained 200 pounds. And for the last 20 years, he said, she's just sitting on her front porch. She's 200 pounds, right? And, you know, so was that beauty hers? She's proud of her beauty. Was it hers? If it was hers, it could not be taken away. It would be constitutional. What's real is Krishna. And if we identify as Krishna's servants, that's real. That cannot be taken away. And therefore, on that platform, you will never have fear. And so there, you know, so Krishna arranges. And we realize it's mercy if it brings us closer to Him. And if it brings us closer to Him, then we're happy with what happened. Thank you, Nanda Dula. Any other questions?
Elaborate answers. Thank you.
I love Nanda Dula. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I have a question.
Hello.
This is Hare Kirtan.
Hare Kirtan. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Maharaj, I'm wondering if you can recommend a concise compendium of the relationship of the demons in Krishna Lila to our anarthas. Because I'm not up to that part of the Bhagavatam, and other than listening to you, I don't want to skip ahead.
Okay. Yeah, the question is, he's reading the Bhagavatam, is there a compendium of the anarthas in Krishna Lila, the demons? And that was done, I believe, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Do you know where he got that, or that was his own deep realization?
I don't know.
What? It was his realization. Mm-hmm. And I think that's in a book called Chaitanya Sikshastaka. No. Krishna Samhita. It's in a book called Krishna Samhita. And the different demons represent different anarthas. And it's kind of interesting because if you actually understand that, you'll see how they exemplify that and the psychology of the story. Because they're killed by Krishna and the ugliness of those anarthas come out. Like Dainakasura. I'm not sure, I forgot what anartha he is, but he's the grossest ignorance. And why is he so, he represents material ignorance. Why? Because, you know, he can't eat those tall fruits. He's a donkey, he only eats grass. But because he can't enjoy it, he doesn't want anybody else to enjoy it. That's the grossest material ignorance. You can't enjoy it, but you don't want anybody else to enjoy it. So they each have something like that. Anyway, Kirtan, nice to hear from you.
Oh,
and greetings from Govardhan.
Thank you, Maharaj. Pleasure to hear you.
Next here, let's make an arrangement where you come for at least a week. Even a week would be great, and stay with me out here in Govan. I'll have a great time. Even at this particular time, Burijan Prabhu and Satchinandana Swami are having a retreat on the other side of Govardhan, you know, nice classes, and you would love it, you know. And Gopi School is right here, you know. I go sometimes, I give Bhagavatam classes. On the other side of me is the ISKCON place where Acacia Bharti is, and Jayadvaita Maharaj, who you know, he also stays here a lot. Anyway, we'll plan it. Okay. Anybody else like to ask one more question?
Maharaj?
Oh, yeah. Hello.
It's Mahamuni. It's Mahamuni. Please accept my name, please.
Okay. This will be the last question, Mahamuni.
I waited, Maharaj, because I've asked so many lately. I didn't want to get in the way of someone else's. So I waited for a minute, but I can pass up this turn if someone else wanted to go.
If you want?
I can pass up this turn because I feel like I've asked a number of questions lately. I don't want to monopolize or whatever. I try.
No one asked. We waited. Okay, just ask your question.
So Maharaj, in some ways, I feel like Nanda Dual. Sure. In some ways, Nanda Dual Prabhu's question ties into something which kind of inspired me to ask you the question last week that I've been thinking about.
Yeah.
And I guess the question is, it seems like for those of us who are not in an ashram, you can't really have your cake and eat it too, in the sense that spiritual realization comes when you're kind of forced outside of your comfort zone in a kind of act of surrender, my experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when your environment is comfortable, you're not pushed as much, and so it comes slower.
Yeah.
So, if I understood correctly, your response to Nanda Dual Prabhu was, you just have to reflect on your situation and realize how dependent you are on Krishna, and then that could, in some way, inspire you.
Yeah.
That was the nature of your answer, right, Maharaj?
Right.
Do you think that there are ways that people in this circumstance can increase their kind of surrender by putting themselves at a kind of risk for Krishna, but in a way where it's not like crazy or whimsical or...
Okay, let me ask the question. He's asking about, because there's people here, you know, how you can get this dependence on Krishna, even though you're like in a grihastha, these people, you know, living as a grihastha and not performing the kind of sacrifices that you have in the ashram. And there's any way you can do it, which is not absolutely crazy, you know. You know, I would just say that everyone has a duty. And if you do your duty, you're making sacrifice. You know, even like, and you're developing faith in Krishna. Because when you do your duty, it's not out of, in other words, it's not your material calculation of how you will prosper. Right? But you will prosper. For example, a grihastha, maybe, you know, they give a certain percentage of their income for charity and Krishna consciousness. Now, that's not a calculation of how they prosper. You know? But by doing their duty, and it's an austerity or whatever it is, then they get that realization. And the other thing is, with grihastha ashram, you know, it's not like, the ashram is, you know, the Brahmacharya ashram is all full of austerities and the grihastha ashram is just so comfortable. I mean, especially in the modern world, it's a strain. And one of the items of devotional service is simply expecting the Lord's mercy to actually see Krishna's mercy in every situation. So, just by doing your duty. I mean, the grihasas are working so hard. Just by rendering some service or preaching occasionally, or whatever appropriate. There are different services and activities, both in one's spiritual practices
and in the mission. And if he actually adopts his duty, it's going to be tapasya. And what's tapasya? Despite the irrational impulses of the mind and senses, you do your service. You know, so just by doing your duty, you know, just by serving Krishna honestly, you don't have to, what to speak of just trying to chant one's rounds and do something in the morning spiritually, you know, when you have so many other things to do. There's plenty of opportunity in every circumstance, you know. But, you know, we have to add some spiritual intensity to our life. Another thing also, I mentioned it before, there's times of the day for that kind of meditation, whatever it is, times of the week, month, Ekadasi, times of the year, pilgrimages. I think, you know, people need retreats where they can have that kind of concentration. We should talk about this, Mahamuni, you know. Maybe we can organize like a little japa retreat or something, you know.
Yeah.
A few days of just intense, you know, a few interested people, myself, you, the High Kirtan, I'm sure we come, you know, figure out a place we can do it, you know, a retreat where, you know, okay, you may not be able to do it every day, you know, like you were in the ashram. Hey, how about we do it, you know, twice a year for 3 days, intense, you know, chanting, you know, and talking about the holy name and things like this. Okay, I'm going to end today. So, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna today? Okay, Anastasia, are you there? She's not. Huh? Okay. Anastasia, you're not there today? Okay, so you won't get to talk to your brother. Okay, Vansha Kalpa, Tarubya Staff, Rita Sundu, Vaya Kacha, Patita, Pavane, Dio, Vaishnu, Dio, Namo, Namaha.